Good morning and welcome to hour number two of our get-together. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, 7:07, time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers. Well, the answer is always yes. Happy hump day, Trump day. Not everybody Trump picked won, but I think a lot of the elections were pretty close to what I think people thought was going to happen. But, you know, the big news is Byron Donalds. Again, not a surprise there, but coming out on top. Another top story that we'll dig into as well, Canada and U.S., there was going to be a big old tariff, like 50% against Canada, that Trump was going to implement. So they have like a little three-day pause going on now. They met at the 11th hour to try to iron things out, so they got a little temporary stay, if you will.
Is that a memorandum of understanding?
Yes. And I've never seen so much concern over, what, a couple dozen hockey sticks they sell over here? You know what I mean? I mean, they keep mentioning that. Hockey sticks. I'm like, whoa.
How many do we really buy? I don't know.
Probably a substantial amount, but, you know, it's not like lumber, you know, to build houses.
Right.
That might be just slightly more critical. Nothing against hockey. I love hockey. Okay? I had hockey sticks when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if they were made in Canada. They probably were. Of course, yeah. I was right across the border at that point.
That's true.
In Detroit.
Oh, you probably had those illegal imported, you know, they were sneaking them across the border and stuff at night.
Well, quickly, what we did as kids is you could buy, like, you know, the wooden part of the stick at the bottom, the blade, you'd beat that up pretty bad because that's what you're banging on the ice with and everything else. So they would sell these plastic ones that you just like you're replacing a garden, like a rake.
Yeah.
The rake is good. You know, the pole went bad.
Right.
In this case, you're replacing the implement.
Yeah.
So we would heat those up and curve those.
Oh.
And what it would do is you had a natural, get some air under that puck.
A little momentum there.
Be in the air.
That's smart.
Until all the neighbor kids are losing a tooth or two, then all of a sudden all the parents are
like, how do you play hockey and nobody loses teeth? Come on, look at the pros.
I guess you're not really playing hockey if somebody doesn't lose a tooth.
No.
You're right. That's a good point,
Greg. How
many
are missing their two front teeth? I mean, it's all the time.
It looks a lot better if you only miss one.
Yeah.
Anyway. Hey, Frank Beard, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
Another Beard of the ZZ Top three-man band from Tejas has gone to meet his maker. So rest in peace, Frank Beard, ZZ Top. He was the drummer. He's passed away at the age of 77. So the only original guy left is the founder, Billy Gibbons.
Ironic that he's the one who did not have the beard. So,
oh, Frank Beard, yeah.
Yeah,
kind of easy to remember that.
Yeah.
So you know what we should do to honor him, Greg?
What's
Everybody
that?
Today should go out and buy a pair of cheap sunglasses.
I like the way you're thinking.
That was one of their big hits.
Good tune. Yeah.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
He's heard that these
trademarks ZZ Top.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to make sure they get their royalties.
Absolutely.
All right. Again, all the stories I present, it's hard. There's no shock value anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, as a broadcaster, you want to be compelling. When you tease ahead, you want it to be something, you know, outrageous.
Right. The tease. All about the tease.
But there's nothing outrageous anymore. We've seen it all.
Sadly.
What if I told you that there was a polling company that was basically fraudulent, fake, and making stuff up? A polling company. They do polls, like, for elections.
Mm.
Are you shocked?
Oh, of course not.
In fact, you'd probably say, well, I kind of figured that all along.
Yes.
That's the world we live in now.
Uh-huh.
A major polling scandal rocked the L.A. mayoral race after a firm admitted to fabricating poll results. I mean, that's the essence of what you do.
Wow.
It is your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you're admitting, well, yeah, we didn't have any integrity at all. We just made that stuff up.
So the one thing you do, you had one job, and you fake it.
Correspondent William Lajeunesse of Fox News reports on Median Strategies, they were called, creating a fake poll showing Karen Bass leading. The company claims the move was a short-term social experiment to study political misinformation.
No.
This is like the Southern Poverty Law Center saying, we only gave money to the Klan to kind of study what the Klan was doing.
Yeah.
We only slept with a guy organizing, you know, the Klan because, well, we wanted to study it.
Right.
Remember when that came out, Southern Poverty Law Center?
We're not buying that.
No. A polling outfit admitted that surveys released on the L.A. mayoral race and a Democratic gubernatorial primary in Wisconsin were fake as well. Median Strategies, company released polls indicating that Mayor Bass had a huge lead. And then they were also the one, remember when they said Francesca Hong in Wisconsin? Oh, yeah, she's leading. Yeah. She's going to win. And she didn't. But they're saying, they're admitting their surveys were a hoax.
That's crazy.
And doing it like, well, for political reasons, not to study it. They wanted to see if they, how much effect a fake poll would have.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they wanted to study it, because they wanted to push whatever the candidate of their choosing was.
And that is meddling with elections.
Yes.
I mean, we always talk about, oh, you know, they're influence elections. This is the kind of stuff that can do that.
But it's very rare, Greg. Remember?
Very rare. Had no influence, no effect on the outcome at all.
Yeah, L.A. There's only a few people involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's L.A. I mean, how many people could live there?
Exactly.
Maybe 10.5 million in the greater L.A. area? I mean, other than that.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that.
Nothing to see here.
Uh-oh, socialist, like I said, creeping like rust. They never sleep. Socialism creeping in. And the primary election featured closely watched federal races from sunny South Florida to frigid Alaskan tundra and two states in between. All right, so observers already using race results and bellwethers to gauge Trump's grip over the GOP. Now they have to look out for socialism. Sunshine State socialist scores shocking Senate upset despite being heavily outspent. This is the DSA member and Democratic State Representative Angie Nixon scored a massive upset in the state's Democratic primary for U.S. Senate. Nixon ran against retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, a prominent critic of Trump who played a central role in the left's failed 2019 impeachment attempt, who was expected to emerge victorious. I mean, former military guy that hates Trump?
Wow.
That sounds like, that could be an easy win, possibly, right? Especially when he had a ton of money behind him.
And she spent hardly anything at all. I think like 60 grand or something like that. But she was the handout candidate.
Yes.
So.
And she defeated Vindman by almost 12 points.
That's pretty amazing. It is.
He spent $16.3 million, or at least he had that much in his war chest.
Yeah.
She had about $1 million.
Was it? Okay.
So Vindman actually ended up spending, I think, about $9 million on the race.
Wow.
And Nixon spent a little over $700,000.
Wow.
Well, Nixon's going to, I'm sure, all of a sudden her coffers will be filled by Democrat money because she's got to go up against Senator Ashley Moody. Ashley Moody doing a fantastic job. She has plenty of support. The Republicans have an advantage in the Sunshine State. But to see this through, to see her through, you actually have to show up and vote at the midterm. And it's going to be very, very important. But yeah, I would think the Democrat, well, they'd love to turn any seat Democrat here in the stronghold. In the stronghold of Republicanism.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that has anything to do with how well our state is doing overall. The fact that we have a lot of Republican leadership.
I'd say there's a connection there? It's not. Well, you don't believe in coincidences.
So why would you sell out to socialism?
Oh, I don't get that at all.
Dumber than a box of rocks, some of these people.
Absolutely.
And I'm being kind.
Yes.
716 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. All right. Air it out. Get it off your chest. What's bugging you is coming up next. So call in now. Don't be shy. 877-975-9825. What's bugging you? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now because what's bugging you is next. Good morning and happy hump day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time now for What's Bugging You? A chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So please call in now. Lines are full, but we'll make room for you. 877-975-9825. Good morning, Wayne. What's bugging you? Wayne, are you there, buddy? Nope. Let's go to Slim again. What's bugging you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. You know what's bugging me today is I've been referred to as a conspiracy theorist before, and I am 9-0 as far as this goes when it comes to direct energy weapons. Look up DEWs, direct energy weapons. This is not science fiction. It's very real. People should know about these things. I'm tired of sounding like a crazy person and being correct all the time. Thanks, guys.
Yep. I'm sure a lot of people feel similar that have told us things that 10 years ago you're like, ah, and you hang up on them. Now yeah. It's like, rut-row.
Wasted all that foil and everything.
Bill, good morning. What's bugging you? Bill, you're on the air. Good morning.
We hear you walking, Bill.
Huh, that's weird. I wonder if that's that line three.
He was still there. He's just not,
Maybe he can't hear me, maybe. Good morning. Let's go to... Is that Wayne? You're on the air.
Ah, thank you, gentlemen. I'm sorry for some reason it dropped. Yeah, you know, tell you what's bugging me. I served in the military. I took an oath to the Constitution. If you violated that oath, you could be locked up or your whole life would be ruined. So I need to understand the DSA candidates have released their platform that they want to do away with the presidency. They want to do away with the Senate. So tell me. They want to destroy the Constitution. How is it not perjury and they should be arrested on the spot when they raise their hand of office and take an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America? Please, somebody explain that to me.
Well, and while they're at it, they could explain it to me, too. I'm with you 100%. Oh, yeah. I thought within the bounds of the Constitution, you make changes through the ballot box, and, you know, you can let your voices be heard through the First Amendment, et cetera, et cetera. But to say you want to disable, break down major parts of our governmental system, that sounds pretty treasonous.
Well, I was going to say perjury is one thing. Treason's pretty serious, too, there. Yeah,
yeah, and, sure. And it's not even like they're beating around the bush. It's right out there what they want to do. Richard, good morning. What's bugging you?
Morning, gentlemen. God bless you. Oh, I got a funny one. You know, yesterday, here at Veterans Park, they were voting, and I ran into a politician there. I believe his last name is Willits, running for Gainesville's 3rd District for the city council. Got into a little disagreement with him because when I mentioned that I didn't think it was right about Gainesville trying to take GRU back underneath their supervision and people like us don't get a vote, that I was socialist or that I have a socialist mentality. Now, I find it kind of funny when wasn't our country founded on one thing specific, no taxation without representation?
Yes.
I don't know, guys. Have a blessed one.
Oh, no, I think you do know, and you described that perfectly.
That's twisted.
Yeah. Mm. Douglas, good morning. What's bugging you?
Hi there. I'm hoping that Kat K-Mac can hear this because she's waiting to talk to you. They're going to be touting about how they are going to provide medical for rural counties. We already have medical. The problem is that they don't accept the insurances that are to our availability. And so I see it's going to get abused. It's going to be those 501 foreigner people that open up clinics. And then at the same time, if they really want to do something for rural counties, they need to provide Social Security office. I've been waiting over a year to go ahead and file my Social Security, and the offices are just out of reach. And I'm more worried about the health of my wife right now than me, where if it was downtown like it should be, I could be retiring like a normal person.
Did you reach out to them via the telephone?
Yeah. And then the second thing is this, you have twice in your life, you have to physically appear to the Social Security office, at least twice in your life.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, look, good to know. I know my significant other, she reached out to them, and I don't know if she did. I think she did all of it via phone.
A lot of stuff you can do. They've got an app for a lot of the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess you got to make the trip, which, yeah, it's difficult for some. Let's go to Bill. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning. This is Big Ten Bill. I have realized that the Big Ten has offensive lines, defensive lines, and now PSU has decided on lines of cocaine. That's a bad stain on the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So it's bugging me big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's one college, one group of kids, a couple of spoiled frat boys, thought they were wiseacres, but yeah. No, I think they're gonna suffer as a result, at least to some extent. Good morning, Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, Bob and Greg, what's bugging me is that Luigi Mangione, the person who admitted to shooting the United Healthcare CEO, was only charged with two counts of stalking, and now he's a public charge for the next 50 years where he gets a free exercise program, meal program, and free hospitality. And then let's just hope he gets the point in the end if he drops his soap in the shower. All right, thanks, guys.
Not wrong. I just call him Mange. I think that's more descriptive who he is, Mange. 7:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 8:05, we will talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick, who, well, she won because she was unopposed, but we'll ask her about some of the outcomes of other races as well on News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's a wild ride. Yeah. Stay tuned. Buckle up, like I said, going into the fall. Hopefully we won't get burned out between now and then. I'll make sure of it. We'll switch it up here and there, but we have to bring you the important and top stories. Good morning and welcome. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here as well. It is 7:34, your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Byron Donalds wins convincingly in the Republican primary, garnering approximately 48% of the vote. Jay Collins coming in second at 25%. On the Democrat side, it's pretty much all David Jolly getting 61% of the vote, and Dana Foster way behind at 15%. So that's the race that is going to shape up for the fall. It's going to be a big one. Obviously, getting a lot of national attention. It should be Byron Donalds, you know, to lose, basically. But you have to have folks show up. You cannot have people being mad at Trump and say, I'm not going to show up or anything like that. We've got to show up in force. And I believe we had about a 24.5% turnout overall of Florida registered voters, which for a midterm is amongst some of the highest that we've seen over the last 20 years. So that's a good thing. All right. But we are going to. We're going to ask Kat Kamick. She's going to be talking to us about 8:05. We'll ask her because she was a big promoter of Byron Donalds. And so we're going to ask her about that, obviously. And, well, just to let you know, I mean, obviously everybody who supported him was very excited last night. And one of the things that he talked about is these three pillars, how important they are to Florida.
My administration will be guided by three pillars: making Florida accountable, achievable, and most of all, affordable. An affordable Florida starts with a limited government that respects hardworking taxpayers who fund it. Under my watch, every contract, every budget, and every fee this state spends will be posted online, out in the open, where you can see it.
Another thing that we need clarity on, and he will be important in giving some direction to this, I believe, and it impacts most Florida voters, and that is property taxes.
The goal of eliminating homestead property taxes once and for all. And if the math can't take us there, we will target that relief to our seniors on fixed income and our working families who want Florida to remain their home.
What's the other hot button? Waste and fraud. How would he deal with that?
We are going to continue the Department of Government Efficiency that was started here in Florida under Governor DeSantis. As your governor, we are going to doge all local governments and all state agencies. There will be no sacred cows. So taxpayers deserve to know that their hard-earned dollars are being spent efficiently, transparently, and with total integrity.
What about the competition in the fall, this Jolly Rancher guy?
I will keep your taxes low. I will lower your insurance costs. I will protect school choice. I will stand with law enforcement. I will defend common sense when it comes to protecting our girls and our children's puberty. And I will make Florida more affordable.
I like it, but I want to hear him pick on Jolly Rancher.
On election night, that he wants to apologize for Florida to the rest of the world. Well, let's make something very clear to David Jolly. We are not going to apologize for Florida. We will not apologize for keeping our state open. We will not apologize for keeping our taxes low. We will not apologize for backing our police. And we will not apologize for protecting girls' sports. And we will never apologize for protecting parental rights. No one listened to David Jolly on MSNBC, and no one should listen to him now.
Ah.
He lost before, and on November 3rd, he is going to lose again.
Nice.
Yes. Look, he can speak. If he follows through on all of these things, Byron Donalds is going to be a great governor.
Mm-hmm.
Make no mistake about it. I'm sure he has the wisdom to surround himself with some really great people. And moving forward, I see things in a very optimistic way, especially if he actually, you know, follows through with all these things. And there's mm-hmm. no reason why he wouldn't.
Right.
And, you know, look, he is also, I know when in an interview he did with Fox News, he was, you know, very supportive of the work that Governor DeSantis has done. And
right.
he really wants to, you know, keep that going, you know, take that next step and keep pushing. And I don't know this David Jolly guy, what he's apologizing for. No states are perfect, and Florida is not perfect. There's no such thing when you involve people, but I think things are going rather well. The only issues that we have are being addressed. The property tax issue, the high insurance cost, and the legislature and the governor have worked on these things. We've seen some promising things that are, you know, maybe haven't come completely to fruition. The insurance thing, there's been some relief there. So what would be the big issue? Yeah, affordability.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only so much you can do. You can't control the market. What do you want? Price controls? You can't sell your house for $275,000. We're going to cap it at $225,000. What the heck? You'd go crazy if they tried to do that. So, you know, affordability is it. You want to try to work on that with what avenues and areas that you actually can have an impact. But, I mean, it's hard to control the market. The market is the market, for instance. But I don't know. I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
I think that Florida's in great shape. I don't think that David Jolly has a great chance, but you never want to count anybody out. And I know that Kat Kamick coming along, our congresswoman, she is going to, you know, be, she already is fully supportive of his agenda. And I know she wants to tell us all about that. So I look forward to a conversation with her. And for whatever reason, you miss any part of the show, including great interviews with her. We have another winner. Coming up, Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson. We're going to talk to him later on. If you ever miss these things, just remember you've got the Bob Rose Show on podcast, so you can listen on your schedule, whether it's full episodes or individual interviews, anytime, anywhere. You'll never miss what matters most. Just wherever you get your favorite podcast app, wherever you go, search the Bob Rose Show, hit follow. That means Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeart, wherever you listen, and you'll never have to miss out on anything. And that's is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
One of the big news items is dealing with Canada and tariffs, and the president wanting to be pretty tough with Canada, imposing a 50% tariff. But wait, hold on. At the last minute, they jammed on the brakes. It's in a holding pattern for 3 days.
Okay.
We'll see if they can work things out. to the benefit of both nations and do that within 3 days. Meanwhile, China state-run Global Times on Tuesday boasted of soaring demand for the ice Silk Road trade route China has established through the Arctic, and castigated Western media for expressing sour grapes concerns about the environment, Chinese territorial aggression, and weaponized supply chains, all of which are valid issues, by the way. But the Global Times, I mean, come on, you're state-run, you're state-controlled, the media.
Right. Yeah.
They were quick to declare that the ice Silk Road, the ice Silk Road, not to be confused with the Silk Road Initiative, the ice Silk Road is a roaring success since it only just began regular service from China's eastern city of Ningbo to ports in the UK, Netherlands, Germany, Poland, running by way of Russia's northern sea route through the Arctic. Chinese shipping company Sea Legend only announced regular service through the Arctic route last week. The first container ship to use the express transit route departed from Ningbo on Saturday evening. So we'll see how that goes. And again, another related story is these companies, these shipping companies for China, they're looking for different routes to bypass, to get around, mm-hmm. to avoid in any way, shape, or form when they can, dealing with the Strait of Hormuz, Iran, and any other choking point.
Yeah, I thought the Chinese and the Iranians were getting all a little cozy there. I'm surprised they're having to look for alternative routes.
Yeah, well, I guess this, again, the uncertainty of what's going on.
They don't trust him either. Well, you never know who's going to shoot at you.
Well, that's the thing. And you know that. It's probably not going to be Iran directly. There's a tendency to use, these proxy groups that do their dirty work for them. That's pretty much how that goes down. Iranian officials, by the way, did fire back at President Donald Trump on Tuesday, calling him delusional and declaring a post-American order in the Persian Gulf after the president posted a map labeling the Strait of Hormuz as a new U.S. territory.
That was funny, though. You know he's just poking the bear there for sure, to have some fun.
Big time, no doubt about
absolutely.
It. Trump put that map out on Truth Social without comment Tuesday, following up on a claim he first floated last week, and then he embraced it again on Monday when asked about the prospect of declaring the Strait American territory. He says, I mean, you know, we control it. We control it with the blockade, and I like the idea of declaring it a territory. The deputy foreign minister of Iran responded directly to Trump's map, warning that Tehran would correct what he called the president's delusion. So, you know, at last count, the strait is open, right, according to the U.S., and Iran says the strait is closed, according to them. So,
whoever them may be on a given day.
Exactly.
I know who you're talking to.
Is it back channel? Is it the IRGC? Is it remnants of the regime?
Mm-hmm.
Who really knows? Fauci advisor pleads guilty to charges connected to concealing COVID-19-related records.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, my. We've got a lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Like I said, 8:05, we'll talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Right now, it is 7:45, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. 7:50 on the Bob Rose Show. 10 minutes till 8:00. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 8:05, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, you know, she ran unopposed, and she worked hard, though, on behalf of Byron Donalds. And it looks like if everything goes well, he'll be the next governor of the great state of Florida. Of course, you've got to beat the Jolly Rancher, David Jolly, and we'll ask her all about that. And I'm sure she'll be more than happy to talk about that. And probably a little get-together last night in celebration of Byron Donalds' big win. An indicted former senior advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci pleaded guilty to a federal conspiracy charge Tuesday stemming from a scheme to conceal government records on coronavirus research grants from investigators probing the origin of the COVID-19 pandemic. Wow. So information that could be found to be of huge public interest was buried and basically was shielded from public scrutiny. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you be afraid to release information? Well, because it shows what liars and scumbags they were, you know, working at the behest of Dr. Fauci. David Morins, a National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases official, copped to conspiracy to commit offenses and to defraud the United States. He faces up to 5 years in prison in his sentencing. By pleading guilty, Dr. Morins has been taking, he has taken responsibility for what he did, and he will continue to do so, according to his defense attorney. As part of the plea, Morins, he's 78. He admitted that between April 2020 and June of 23, he conspired with two unnamed co-conspirators and others to defraud the United States by hampering, hindering, impeding, or obstructing by craft, trickery, deceit, or dishonest means the lawful and legitimate functions of public health agencies from complying with FOIA requests, including destroying and concealing records related to the termination and restoration of a National Institutes of Health grant for research on bat coronaviruses. Yeah, it wouldn't have looked good if this information got released that basically tells us everything we thought was correct. So a bat at a wet market caused this whole thing. That's what they tried to sell us.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, that one, does it top when, remember when the terrible thing went down in Benghazi and three Americans died?
Right.
Remember Hillary Clinton said it's because of a video about Muhammad?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
No.
Wow.
Who believed that?
Yeah.
At the time. Come on.
Yeah. And then, so you've got this group, you know, concealing the fact that, well, were you or were you not doing bat coronavirus type research? Were you or were you not? They never answered those questions. Of course they were. Mm-hmm. Now we know now. Yes, absolutely they were. And they really tried to do a number on the American people. And here's the frightening thing. It wouldn't have been that hard to catch these people in lies. You need just a couple of honest people to come forward. But what happened was, when you even began to question that situation, remember, you got like canceled, cut off. You know, people had their, you know, medical license and all that threatened.
Oh, yeah.
Even asking questions. And the lefty biased media, that all they did was promote, get the vax, mm-hmm. and all this. It's wet market, and this happened. I told you just some really basic stuff that I looked at, like the bat, for instance, in question.
Right.
That they were claiming. That bat lives, its habitat is about 500 miles from Wuhan.
Now, they can fly, but they don't fly 500 miles.
No, they don't. They're not migratory in nature. No. They are not. 500 miles is huge. So basically, you're saying people went bat hunting 500 miles to drag a bunch of carcasses of bats back to a wet market because people just so want their bat meat.
Because they would not walk 500 miles.
If people don't get their bat meat, they tend to go bat
crazy.
Meat crazy.
Yeah. Well, and then and every angle they gave us to manipulate you and to get, if the kids don't get it, they're going to kill grandma.
I mean,
they tried every angle. If you don't get it, well, you know, you're going to get it again, or you can get it again, or you can spread it. I mean, they really hit us from every angle to guilt us into it.
But we should have known when it was all starting completely with a lie.
Yes.
You know, when they never would admit to what actually had occurred, because here's the questions. So we're working on gain-of-function viruses that can kill millions of people. We're working on that. Number one, wrong. We shouldn't be. Number two, with the Chinese?
Yeah, right.
Of all the people in the world.
Uh-huh.
The people that we should trust the least with any advancement in anything especially like science or technology, would, and their track record absolutely bears this out, would be the Chinese. Why would you give a grant? Why would you work with them in tandem with them with an extremely dangerous virus? Mm-hmm. And they're basically working to make it as dangerous as they can.
Right.
And so what is even the excuse? Well, we got to get ahead of nature. Yeah, by doing what you do in gain of function, you now just got at least 10,000 years ahead of nature. We don't know if there'll be a nature in 10,000 years, you bozos. They were doing, that's weaponization. But working on weaponization, we're not innocent. Our hands are dirty. We've done stuff like that before. But why would we do it with the Chinese? Doesn't it make you feel like there are huge chunks and aspects of our government that are selling out on a regular basis? I mean, we have evidence of a lot of that already. But this kind of thing is like, it clinches it. It's like, wow, we're working with the Chinese on something that if it gets out could kill millions of people. And we're working with them of all. And under the guise of what? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Gain of function, weaponization of viruses. That's exactly what they were working on. And then you've got people lie, cheat, steal, hide information, destroy information. And this guy could get up to 5 years in prison?
Wow. Talk about easy.
Wow. Now, granted, I mean, his advanced age, 78 years old. I mean, that could be possibly a life sentence. And I guess, you know, give him some points if he, you know, he did. He admitted to some things.
What are we going to say? He's an old man with a bad memory?
That could come into play.
Okay, just asking.
Right? It wouldn't be the first time.
No.
Yep. But Fauci's really the guy. All right, hang in there, my friends, because on the flip side, we're going to be talking to Congresswoman Kat Kamick all about the elections and the outcome of said elections. All right, we'll get to that next on News Talk 97.3 The Sky.